Open your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. There at the beginning, I was a little worried when he talked about his father being in a different country. I knew Kentucky was far away, but I'd never thought of it as a different country. Hope that has got your thinking cap working this morning as we examine the faith of Joseph in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 22. Hebrews 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for all of the heroes of faith. And God, we thank you for our heroes of today, just as much as the heroes of yesterday. God, I pray that when we think of faith, Father, that every single one of us here would aspire to have the faith of these great men and women who have gone on before us, who have already trod the path, and Lord, who have demonstrated for us what living by faith is all about. May your name be honored and glorified as we examine the life of Joseph this morning, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Joseph, an interesting man. Bible gives many comparisons in his life as to how he was a type of Christ given in the Old Testament. But what is it that is so unique about Joseph that you and I should seek to have in our lives today? As we examine the life of Joseph, we're talking about wonderful faith. But what is so wonderful about it? Maybe you think in terms of things that are wonderful in the concrete sense of the term, not so much in the abstract fashion. Perhaps you're thinking of things that are wonderful and relating it to material things, perhaps to a location that you have visited and a property where you were able to stay, maybe to a meal that you enjoyed or a restaurant that you have gone to, or perhaps to a performance of a particular orchestra or concert that you were able to attend. But this morning, as we examine the life of Joseph, I want us to think of something wonderful in a totally different sense. I want us to see why it was that his faith was wonderful. And furthermore, I want all of us, you and me both, to see this morning how we can and should desire to have the exact same faith that he demonstrated. Thomas Kirk said, though outwardly an Egyptian grandee, he was inwardly an Israelite indeed. His heart was in Canaan, not Egypt. We think about the faith that Joseph demonstrated, as here indicated in our text, towards the end of his life. I believe there are three characteristics about this faith that every single one of us can imitate in our lives today in 2008. The first thing when we think of Joseph is we think of the fact that his faith stayed with him throughout his life. His faith stayed with him throughout his life. Time would not permit us to look at every single verse that refers to him, because we would find that over one fourth of the book of Genesis is dedicated to the faith of this one man alone. We understand that at the age of 17, his faith was tested in the scriptures and the account that is given to us there for the first time when he found himself in a pit. Now, you may be saying, what's so different about that? I find myself in a pit all the time. But this was a physical pit. This was a literal place where his brothers had decided to do away with him. They were trying to see how they could get rid of the one who, in their opinion, was the favored one in the eyes of their father, seeking to be able to make their lives a little bit easier. And so we understand that there was a group of Ishmaelite merchants that were coming along, and as they were coming alongside that time out there in the wilderness where they had left Jacob back at home, they decided, why don't we sell him once and for all? And so you know the story. They took him and they sold him to these merchants. They didn't realize that that was simply a part of God's plan. But there, Joseph was sold into another country of another language, of another culture, and of another way of living altogether. And yet in that circumstance, at the very beginning of his life, he demonstrated faith. Then we find not only did he demonstrate his faith in the pit, but he went the next step and he demonstrated faith in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was one of the leaders of the land of Egypt, and it was there that he found and heard of this Joseph fella and bought him as a slave and decided to have him work for him. And while he was there working for him, he realized that Joseph was a man of character. He was a man of principles. And so while he was working for him, little by little, he began to delegate more and more responsibility to him. And got to the point where he had taken everything under his care, under the care of Potiphar, and transferred that over to Joseph. But Joseph, as a young man, now living in a foreign country, now living amongst another people, began again to demonstrate his faith in Potiphar's house. The story goes on to tell us that Potiphar's wife did everything in her power to seduce this man, and time and again was trying to get him to lower his morals, was trying to get him to compromise his faith. And on one particular day, she thought she had the perfect scenario, because as he had come into the house to do some work for his master, Potiphar was gone. He walked into the room. Potiphar's wife was there, tried to seduce him, told him to come and lie with her, and immediately he fled and left the temptation that was there before him. Why? Because he had a wonderful faith. Then when Potiphar found out about it, the story, of course, as we know, that he was told was not in accordance to the truth, but rather it was according to the tantalizing tale that his wife would spin as to how Joseph supposedly was trying to seduce her, and that as she screamed, that he fled from her. We know there was no element of truth in that, but that did not save him from being cast into the prison. And now in the third phase of his life, we see again that his faith was strong. We see that his faith was able to stay the course. And in that prison, having done nothing wrong, having been faithful to his master, his earthly master, having fulfilled the responsibilities that were given to him, and yet, there in that prison, he began again to demonstrate leadership. Came to the point where the prison guard had put Joseph over all the rest of the prisoners and had left him in charge. And we know there that the king's cupbearer and the king's baker had had some dreams. And they told Joseph about their dreams, and he was able to reveal to them those dreams and the meaning behind them, demonstrating yet again his faith in God. And he had one simple request. He said, if you don't mind, when you go out and you are there before Pharaoh and your life is restored to you, would you mind just putting in a little good word for me? Well, you know the story. They didn't go and put in a word for him. And after a long period of time had passed, all of a sudden Pharaoh had a dream. And Pharaoh now was perplexed as to how his dream was going to be interpreted. Then all of a sudden the king's servant remembered and he said, there's a guy back in prison. He got me out of a jam, and I think he could also explain to you what it is that's going on. And so then they brought Joseph, and Joseph was able to reveal to him the meaning of his dream. And Joseph's faith that was faithful there back in the pit, that was still strong and wonderful there in Potiphar's house, that continued to be wonderful there in the prison, was yet made wonderful staying with him in the palace. Now all of a sudden we realize that Joseph is coming to a different part of his life. And if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. We see the context to which the writer to the Hebrews is referring when he talks about Joseph's last instructions.
And when he gives command for what his desires are, we've skipped over deliberately the entire scenario in which his brothers came back to him to Egypt seeking to buy grain and had their life there restored and the relationship reconciled with their brother Joseph as over a period of time he revealed himself to them. But now all of a sudden in this particular scenario, as their father has passed away, as Jacob now finds his bones buried in Canaan right there, we understand that Joseph has come back to Egypt and all of his brothers are a little bit worried because they are worried that now that their father is gone, that he's not going to look so favorably upon them. And then as we find here in Genesis chapter 50, the Bible says in verse 18, "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." We realize that not only did David's faith stay with him throughout his life, but his faith was stalwart. His faith was strong. His faith was unwavering. From a human standpoint, this would have been the perfect time for him to level the playing field. This would have been the opportune moment in which he could have now taken his vengeance out upon his brothers. But he says, it's not up to me to somehow try and settle the record. I leave that in God's hands. In fact, God is the one who took what you desired against me in an evil fashion and has turned it for his honor and glory that it might be something for good. I am glad that I was able to be sold here eventually to the Egyptians because it was all part of God's perfect plan. Now, think about the trials that you may find yourself in this morning. Think about the difficult situation in which you find yourself right now and all of the thoughts that are going through your mind about the struggles that you are facing. Could you, in that specific situation, respond with the wonderful faith that Joseph had and in the confidence of knowing that you are a child of God, if you're seeking to walk with him and you're seeking to be in the center of his perfect will, could you have the same attitude that Joseph had and say, others may wish me evil, but my God wishes me well. Others may be looking out to harm me. Others may be trying to taint my testimony. Others may be trying to say things that are untrue. Others may be seeking my harm. But my God has allowed this for his perfect plan. Did you hear the beginning words of the song that was sung right before the message, referring back to Job and the message that he gave where he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You see, Joseph knew what that faith was all about. Joseph, right there, demonstrated a stalwart faith that was not based on his feelings, but rather was based on the firm conviction in his God. I like what the psalmist said when he said in Psalm 18:18, "They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." How was Joseph, the man who was so maligned, able to demonstrate such mercy to his brothers? It was all due to the fact that he had a stalwart faith. Isaiah reminds us those extremely precious promises in Isaiah 26. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what?
stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We look at the calendar and realize that we live several thousand years after Joseph walked the face of the earth. Does it occur to you that the same God that gave Joseph the strength that he needed to face trials and difficulties is the same God that is alive today that has the equal supply of strength to meet all of your needs in all of your dark hours? We realize, thirdly and most importantly, not only did he have a faith that stayed with him throughout his life, did he have a faith that was stalwart, but he had a faith that enabled him to finish strong. He had a faith that enabled him to finish strong. Look with me, if you would, here back again in Genesis chapter 50 in verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. 2008, we are beginning to see more and more people, men and women alike, both in positions of influence as well as those that are plodders, who are no longer concerned with finishing strong. It saddens my heart to read of preachers, to think of friends of mine, classmates of mine, former church members, who at one time had a wonderful faith. They were living by it in the difficult times. They were demonstrating it when things were going well just as much as when things were not going well. They were consistent in their walk with God. And furthermore, they know the truth of God as found in His holy word. And yet, the devil has come, has laid temptation at their feet. And rather than demonstrating a wonderful faith that would allow them to finish strong, they've given in to the temptations of the flesh. They've tired at the struggles with the devil and the world. And as a result, they have fallen on the battlefield. This morning, you may be thinking, it's only getting harder, Pastor. As I seek to live by this book and as I seek to have the principles in this book be what guides my life above all else, every single day, it's getting more difficult. And to be honest with you this morning, I would not deny that statement. But what I would strongly affirm is that you and I have an all-powerful God. Amen. And that you and I have absolutely not one single reason why every single person here could not finish strong. After all, none of us have been thrown in a physical pit. None of us have found ourselves thrown in prison for false allegations against us. None of us have been sold by our very brethren. None of us have been thrust into a different country. And yet, in spite of all this, Joseph today serves as a wonderful hero, a hero of the faith, a man who had wonderful faith that can be the same faith that you and I claim today. But what is your decision? Look with me, if you would, at the words that Joseph shared with his brethren. We see here that David was dogmatic. He says in verse 24, God will surely visit you. He says in verse 25, God will surely visit you. There are going to be all kinds of persuasive people that will come and try to get you to water down your faith, to weaken the principles in which you believe. But I would remind every single one of us that because we have the Word of God, because we have the inerrant, infallible, Holy Bible in our hands, every single one of us can and must be dogmatic about what we believe. It's not a matter of, well, you know, maybe I should allow a little bit of room over here, as we're hearing so many political leaders today tell us. And maybe, you know, these people over here and they'd like to get to heaven. And I'm sure they're sincere and I'm sure they're genuine and I'm sure they're kind. And so why don't we just kind of broaden a little bit our scope here? The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ reminded us that broad is the way to destruction. Then we say, well, you know, this matter of seeking to be a difference in this world, of seeking to point others to Christ, and of seeking to be new creatures. I say, yes, I can. And yes, by God's grace, I will be dogmatic. Why? Because I know my God will always keep His word. And I know, based on the authority of the Bible, that Jesus Christ is coming again. And when He comes, it may not be in my lifetime. It certainly wasn't in Joseph's lifetime. But He will settle all counts. When Jesus Christ comes back, He will reward those who have been faithful to Him. But we see not only that He was dogmatic, but also He was devoted. What He says here, I'm going to die. But He says, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which He sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He was devoted. What we tend to see less and less of in our churches today are Christians who are truly devoted to their God. Must have been a very special relationship that Joseph enjoyed in his childhood with his father Jacob, hearing of the faith of his father Isaac and of his grandfather Abraham, and sharing where God had brought them from, and sharing the ways in which God had always provided for their every need. And David, on his deathbed, remained true, finishing strong, had a devotion to the God of his father and of his forefathers. And so too must you and I today raise the bar rather than lower the bar regarding our devotion to God. Now, when we think about this world, what they need to see above all else are Christians who are committed to their faith in Jesus Christ. What this world needs to see above all else are Christians whose lives are guided by principles that under no circumstances will we compromise. I praise God for every single one of you here who works in government. Because it ought to be that everyone in your office knows what a true Christian is like. It ought to be that everyone with whom you come in contact knows your life is based 100% on faith in Jesus Christ and in His Word. I praise God for every military leader that we have in our church, because it ought to be that as you rub shoulders with fellow soldiers and officers, that you can demonstrate who your true leader is. Who it is that is guiding you every day of your life, even as you make decisions which affect our military, that you are mindful of the fact that you have a far greater captain up in heaven who's watching every decision that you make, who is desirous of seeing His will performed here among His people. We think of the faith that God is looking for in you and in me, reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul when he said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, when we think of the faith of Joseph, it is wonderful to realize that he understood that God had a plan and his plan was going to be fulfilled. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. He knew that God had a plan and that God was going to fulfill that plan. Many years have passed, generations have come and gone. And now the children of Israel are being freed from the powerful hand of Pharaoh. The Bible says in Exodus 13, verse 17, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Joseph did not know the name Moses. Joseph did not know the timing when God would bring his people out of the land of Goshen, out of the land of Egypt, and when he would allow them to go to the promised land. But Joseph said, God will surely visit his people. And Joseph was so convinced of God's plan that generations later, they still remembered the words of the promise that Joseph had shared. And Moses reflected with all the people, we have to take Joseph's bones with us, because Joseph was convinced that God had a plan. As you look at your life this morning, are you convinced that God has a plan for you? I'm not talking about some frothy, superficial thing that you have to find in a book written by some compromising author. I'm talking about going to the Word of God and acknowledging, yes, I am not here by accident. Yes, God has a plan for my life. And yes, I have the privilege of following His plan every step of the way. I'm looking forward this week to our missions conference. I'm praying that God will continue to work in the hearts of men in our church, both young and old, and that He will call more to go to the mission field. That more teenagers, more men will say, yes, God, increase my faith to go. God has a plan. When we think of God's plan being fulfilled, it's also wonderful to reflect on the way in which you and I can have an influence on other people's lives. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Joseph told his brethren, take my bones. I want to go back to the promised land. Moses followed through with those instructions. But keep in mind, Moses personally never entered the promised land. He saw it afar off.
But now in Joshua chapter 24 and in verse 32, the Bible says, "And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph." It wasn't a matter of the moment that the children of Israel came out of Egypt that they went straight to that burying place and put those bones there. After Moses, he passed on. Another leader came by the name of Joshua. And in verse 31, we see that Joshua passed on. And now we understand that the children of Israel have come back, have taken the bones, and have finally put them back in the promised land. Ask yourself this morning, what influence will your faith have today on future generations? Ask yourself this morning, is your faith so firm? Is your faith stayed upon God? Is your faith stalwart? Is your faith what is going to cause you to finish strong so that others who go on before you, if Jesus Christ tarries in His return, will continue in the path that you have trod? We don't know what the future holds. The Bible tells us that we are not to boast ourselves of tomorrow because no one knows what a day may bring forth. But one thing is for certain. God has given us a limited amount of time on which we live in this earth. How are you going to use the time that God has given to you? How are you going to walk with your Savior? Before you start to think that it's impossible to serve God your whole life, re-examine the faith of Joseph. Think about the obstacles that he encountered. Compare those to the obstacles that you and I face and reassure your faith in the Lord. Resolve to have wonderful faith. Faith that will boldly proclaim the name of Jesus unashamedly, so that when Christ comes back someday, you will be able to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the devotion of Joseph. In a strange land, he continued to have faith in you. And Lord, we thank you for the dogmatism that he also demonstrated. And God, I pray that you would help us to never be tempted to compromise the principles that are laid out for us in your holy word. God, that our devotion to you would demonstrate itself on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, in church every bit as much as in the office. At home, just as much as on the street. And God, I pray that you would find in each one of us a wonderful faith. A faith that, as Joseph, from what we read in the scriptures, Lord, there was no stain on his record. There was no condemnation given of his entire life as recorded for us in the scriptures. And Father, we know that he wasn't perfect, but God, he was a man who was convinced that God had a plan for his life. Today, Lord, may we not judge ourselves by others, but may we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. And as Paul said, Lord,
may we do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, no one looking around, if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. My faith is firmly fixed on Him and Him alone. If you can give testimony of that without any doubt, would you raise your hand, acknowledging that, yes, Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Thank you. You may put your hands down. If you're here this morning with head still bowed and eyes still closed, and you'd say, Pastor, I don't have Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, but I'd like to. I'd like to know that God will come someday and that I will spend eternity with Him, not without Him. If that's your prayer today, would you hold your hand up for just a moment? If you'd say, I'm not saved, I've not put my faith and trust in Him, but I'd certainly like to. I'd like to remember you in my prayer. Anyone at all, hold your hand up for just a moment and put it back down. Pray for me, you'd say, that my faith may be found in Jesus Christ. The last question I ask is, how many of you would say this morning, Pastor, I know Christ is my Savior and I have the saving faith, but I've been challenged afresh this morning, and perhaps I've been tempted to give in. Maybe I'm being pressured by unsaved loved ones or pressured at work. And I've been tempted not to finish strong. But you just say, pray for me this morning that I will finish strong as Joseph did. That I will be able to see my children and my grandchildren, if God sees fit, to walk in my faith as they seek to follow the Lord. If that's your prayer this morning, would you hold your hand up for just a moment? That is my desire. That is my prayer. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Our Father in heaven, encourage us today, Lord. Challenge us in the area of faith. God, strengthen us so that we don't leave here in our own strength, but Lord, that we leave here in the faith of an ever-present, all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal, unchangeable God. Thank you, Lord, for Joseph. Thank you, God, for his life as laid out for us in the Scriptures. I pray, God, that we would seek to imitate Joseph's faith as we seek to imitate our Savior. For we ask it in His name. Amen.